Here we go, once again. Strophus, Fennel, Mr. Preston, Bob, and Jim, and we can call Danny on the phone, he said.
Okay, excellent.
He's going through Arkansas. Probably he doesn't have much reception.
Did you hear that door?
Rocky?
Right.
Hello.
Mr. Strahan.
Yeah.
Are you where you can listen and talk?
Yeah. I'll step out here, but you go ahead and I'll listen to it.
All right. First on our agenda we need to take care of is an intergovernmental agreement between Western Taney County Fire District and Taney County.
It's the water tank.
Water tank at Mincy. And Bob's written it for us. It reads very well. I'd like to say, way to go, Bob.
I move that we approve the intergovernmental agreement between Western Taney County Fire Protection District and the County of Taney regarding the preparation of ground for the installation of a water tank.
Second. And my comments about Mr. Paulson, that was mostly foolishness because it's very simple contract.
Yeah, well, I'll vote aye on it.
Aye here.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Do we want to mention the low boy or no?
Do we need to talk about that any, Frank, as far as getting that done?
It appears that we do have the ability to do it. We would have to construct some cribbing because the tank is so long and our low boy has offset decks. So we would have to spend almost a day building cribbing to be able to haul that, or else the tank could possibly collapse on itself. Chris said, don't worry about it. He'll figure out a way to give me it.
Okay. So don't worry about it.
You can always help. When we have an agreement, you can always help whenever you can help.
All right. Next.
Did you guys have the road standards on there for today, too? Or
we did.
Or
yeah. We were going to discuss private versus public roads as it relates to the P&Z code book and the road standards document that we approved.
Okay.
Is that something you want to do you want to talk about that right now? Do you have undivided attention, or?
Thank you.
I didn't know what part of the discussion you're going to have on it. I mean, is there something you just want to change on that private versus?
Well, let me tell you in a concern. Right now, as it reads, our road standards and our P&Z code book conflict each other. If by chance a person wants to construct a road on a private road on their property, the road standards allows that, but the P&Z code does not. And so from an aspect of a consumer, they could find argument that we are that they're within their legal right, if their lawyer got involved, to build a road based off what they want to build it off of versus our road standard, versus our P&Z book.
But if it's associated with a subdivision.
Well, here's the deal that I feel like that they ought to be able to build their road, but if they ever want to take it into the county standard, it has to be built to the county standard, but that shouldn't stop a guy from building a road that he planned on using. The subject matter probably lays within those roads like we talked about last week, where there's two roads that are single lane or something like that. Is that what you're talking about?
But if you're building a subdivision, you obviously don't want to let people build anything they want.
What about a private subdivision?
Deal. Whenever it comes through P&Z, it should be told to whoever makes the application that if they don't build the road to the Taney County road standard, then it's not going to be ever taken into the county.
How can you say that, though? Because you won't necessarily be on the commission 4 or 8 years from now when somebody comes before the county commission and with 400 people from the subdivision asking it to come in.
That's a little conflicting, though. The reason I'm saying that's conflicting, Danny, is and why we need to talk about it. I'll give you a scenario, and I mean, I'll give you one word and you'll figure out where we're having a concern. It's Air Park. So this discussion is, I mean, we're going to have to...
I understand what you're saying now, as far as part of it. But I don't know how restrictive we get. You know, there may be lots of subdivisions built that would never, ever have a road taken into the county system. As a matter of fact, there's been a bunch of them taken in that's been questionable over the years, that's where P&Z hadn't been effective, and that's one of the reasons that I've been against part of that kind of stuff.
Because right.
The simple things that you could say, I mean, it could be expressed through there that if you don't build the road to county standards, you don't, the subdivision can't never be taken in.
Well, but that's...
Another thing is that... And we've had four or five times take place where they've got a 35 or a 25-foot road going in, too, and after we get there, we make them put a 50-foot road in, or a 40-foot road, or 50. Well, that's crazy. I mean, we had not ever had if they, planning and zoning, should never approve a subdivision that goes, that has a 30 or anything less than a 50-foot road going into it.
That's what I was saying.
But that problem is our road standards doesn't mesh with that. That they're conflicting.
What if I don't like the conflict, and that's not good, of course. But what if you got a project that is going to be a private project, so to speak, comes before planning and zoning? If they require it to be built to, you know, have a description on the decision record that it has to be built to county standards, then
this standard?
Yeah.
That's the problem. They do that right now.
And then there is no standard when it comes to private.
And what if you...
Well, I'm sorry. If it would be specific that it meet as if it was a county road. Not a private road, but as if it was a county road where it would meet the 50-foot and the rock and all the different requirements.
We had that, and then for the commission, we asked that it not be that.
Right.
Communities.
But, and I understand Danny's point,
mm-hmm.
if there's something that's being built that there's just no sense in it being built to county standard, then P&Z can allow it if that is what that project is.
But what
that's what a PUD is about.
But
though,
what is common sense? I mean, that's the problem. We can't, it has to be, that's part of the problem we're having is what is common sense? Because, for example, the airport, they think it's common sense what they're using, and we think it's not.
That would be a PUD situation.
But we don't address that.
In our code. It has nothing to do with the road.
But we don't address it in our code book either. Or is it P&Z code
but,
book?
Here's what I'm saying is you've got a project that maybe it's a family situation like we talked about or whatever it is that the P&Z Commission's convinced that this isn't going to happen where that you've got six lots and then 4 years, 8 years from now, the guy that built it's gone and you got six or eight homeowners and you can name a dozen roads right quick that were in that position, that then they come to the county looking for help, and we want to help them, but it's not fair. Should not P&Z have the ability to say, this can't be a private road. This is going to be built to county standards.
Exactly, because every developer who doesn't want to put in a road will say, my roads are all private. And then once they've sold the lots, they won't worry about funding the homeowners association, and then the homeowners are stuck taking care of a road that was always substandard because it was private, and they'll start looking to you guys. So you can't allow that to happen.
Right. So can that not be P&Z's responsibility and have the flexibility or whatever to keep that from happening? I mean, is that reasonable to think, or is that just not going to happen?
What needs to happen, in my opinion, P&Z needs to have their standards before you can have your subdivision approved, and they need to make sure these people have roads that meet the county standards as if they were public roads, unless it makes sense to do otherwise, and then either through a variance from BOA or doing a PUD. I mean, right now, for instance, you can do a zero lot line if you get a variance or it's like a PUD. You have to be back a certain number of feet from the lot line, but if you're going to do a patio home with people owning on either side, you got to get a zero lot line. Well, you have to have a certain type of road, but can't you get a variance from that? That would make sense if it was approved by somebody that deliberated on whether it made sense or not.
And we have our superintendent on the PNZ Commission to keep his eye on some road being put in, quote, private road that shouldn't be a private road. They could bring.
That's my whole thought process behind it is that the road superintendent sets upon the PNZ to watch over those type of situations.
There's no problem with building a private road on your farm, or if you're not subdividing the land, build your private road. If you wanted a, 10 feet wide and dirt, go for it. But if you're going to subdivide the land and therefore be able to sell it, you need to put it in. Subdivide means to take a piece of land
and divide more than once. And divide by more than once.
Have more plats or ownership.
That addresses that.
Divide the land.
Okay, well, that subdivide land is what we talked about they want to do on certain. That was what Danny didn't want to do, is mandate a road easement or all that on those farms that you want to subdivide into.
But we don't want to get that. That's two different conversations, and what I want is totally different than, I guess, from what everybody else wants. I want, if you mini sub anything, I want it to have to be, if you go to the sixth lot, mini sub, it has to have highway or access frontage to a county standard road.
So you would not be in favor of them getting a private
building a road there, but not if they subdivide, not if they use a mini sub and come, that's administrative.
I agree.
Administrative. And then if they come to board for Division 3, then we've got a road superintendent sitting right there that makes sure that it's built to county standards. So the guy that wants to go out here and go across his place and to get to another piece of property over there, and maybe he wants to build him a road, until he comes before somebody wanting to subdivide, he shouldn't have to build the thing to any jot and picking standard. He ought to be able to build it however he wants to, but when he comes before administratively or Division 3 and says, I want to subdivide, then the standard has to be there. It has to have a 50-foot wide with all the rock, all the stuff that we talked about.
All right.
The baby's with the bathwater, though. You're contradicting yourself.
Let me give an example, and it's my personal example. We bought 5.5 acres, built a house on it for my mother-in-law. There's a 40 that joins the 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
There is a 50-foot easement across next to that 5.5 acres to get to the 40.
Right.
Then there's nothing but trees and deer on the 40. If I wanted to build, if she wanted to build a house on it, then there's no road on that 50 foot. Would that fit with that road to build a road across there to serve that house? Do you have to meet county standards?
Mm-hmm. Some of it. Right now,
I understand what he's saying. There might be
I think you had one split. Then you talked the other day about if you just split one time like that, where you was going to do that. That was visited with society, and we all talked about that. You've got the 40 acres, and you've got the 5.5. When you make that next split, then that's all right. But whenever you go to your subdivision, then you have to have your 50 foot. You got many subdivisions, six lots. And
anything under six lots is a minimum.
Two-acre tracts, there has to be, there's no sewer, and this and that. There's all the standards that go along with it. So,
isn't
when it reaches
two,
the point of the road,
two is
that's when it reaches.
Hey, Danny? But a mini sub is a subdivided of one lot into two lots is a mini sub. A mini sub doesn't start at six, it starts at two.
It maxes out at six. After six, it has to go to division three.
Division three, right. So a mini sub is two to six.
Okay. Could we write it in some way that in those mini subs that we require the 50-foot. We require the 50-foot, as always.
The easement.
The easement. But it wouldn't make sense to me if you got a two-lot subdivision, which is really just a driveway.
To build a road.
That you would have to meet the standard that our road standards meet.
That's
could
what I'm
could
saying.
We add something that says if it serves more less than three or less... Or
well, there must be some language, some way to deal with this. It may not be perfect, but there may be some way to deal with this, and we just need to think about what that way is.
But I mean, I think right now the lawyer for Air Park has noticed the conflict. Is that correct?
Yeah, and yes. I wouldn't worry about him too much. Let him sue.
Well, yeah, let him sue. That wasn't very nice.
Well, that's fine.
That's
exactly.
That's
yeah.
Fine thing.
It helps to find things. Yeah,
yeah. Those lawyers need to find things.
I mean,
as far as the tabling part of it, I'd like to just we've got several situations out there that we're talking about.
All right. Well, we can let you off the hook and still give it a little more discussion and not take any action and come back to you before we make a decision.
Yeah, and to have all the decision making stuff that we've, you know, all the examples that we've talked about, just go to writing those things down. What if you did this and what if you did that? What I want is if I'm going to support any planning and zoning measure, they're going to have to stick by the simplest things first, and then start talking about the complicated things. And that's the only way I'm going to be in support of any planning and zoning stuff, because this old business of allowing a 20-foot easement into a subdivision and then making build a 50-foot road makes about as much sense to me. That's
I think we all agree. I think we all agree.
We're sitting on that board.
All right. Before we lose you, though, Jim Muse just reminded me. I'd like us to, if we could, make a motion on Como Drive. That you're familiar with?
Yeah.
And you've seen the picture, Bob?
I'm ready to order for you boys. If you want to shuffle that over there, if that's all right with him. Now, I don't think that's Curly. You know, Hensley's all
okay,
I know
okay,
his
yeah,
name
yeah.
is. I know it's something else.
So you're all right with doing some trading and getting that straightened out?
He owns both Dan Russell.
He's fine.
Two people that are involved in the thing, and they're related.
Okay, I got you. We're going to let you off the hook if you want to be.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get back there this afternoon after we do some work stuff.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to come back and get back there in time to be there for the... All right, you guys have a good morning and a good lunch.
Bye.
And I just want to explain my comment, let him sue, because since we're on tape. I mean,
basically, right, I do too.
Basically, it's, you know, we need to fix our code because we need to fix our code. We don't need to fix it because we have somebody threatening us. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. We just need to do what's right.
Right. All right, so... Do we want to go ahead and talk about that while we're all... I kind of lost my breath there, but I can get you back. Do we want to...
If we have time, I'd like to discuss it.
Let's do it. Eddie's here. That's a good thing.
Where they were saying that you didn't have the right to...
Enforce.
Yes. And they said because it says we encourage. And, of course, you explained to them where I hung my hat. Was, mm-hmm. It said the fine. and the only thing he defines is this size road.
Before you got here, my question is P&Z and the deal that the road superintendent's on there to watch, that if there's some talk about it being a private road, his ears are going to prick up, and not in, that there would be an element in the decision or record that says this is has to be built to the standard, not the standard of an exemption for encouragement. It means it's got to have the rock base and all the different things.
Our code book states, especially on minor subs, it says that in order to build a minor sub, there's these requirements. And one of them is that you will declare your road to be a private road. It has to be declared to be a private road, not a county road. But you will build it to the minimum defined standards set forth in, you know, the Utah County Road and Bridge and what we have in our code book. And the minimum thing that he defines is a gravel road. He doesn't even deal with dirt roads. Well, the minimum thing he defines is a gravel road, and he does have the specifications on how to build it.
Well, maybe we just need to add a word to the P&Z code or whatever that it says that it has to be built to the minimum public road standards, even though it's a private road.
There you go.
And that's, I find, but I mean, that's kind of what they're debating, encouraged to do this, and we're saying has to be what the minimum defined is. And we've held to that forever. I mean, I've sent Frank and Randy out on a lot of places saying,
whether private,
don't care whether it's private gated or not.
If a private road, it has to meet the minimum public road standard.
If we're going to sign off on a flat.
If it said that, then...
And it says minimum defined standard. Because I went back looking, I thought, it doesn't say they got to build a gravel road. But I went back and it says you have to do the minimum defined standard. So I go to Frank and said, what's the minimum you define? Do you have regulations for a dirt road? He said, no, we start a gravel.
But then you've got the situation with the back 40 that you give to your grandma to build a house on, or your grandson to build a house on. Do you require minimum public road standards? How is it that you solve that problem?
If you have a piece of property that's more than 4 acres, you can put 2 residences on that, and however you access that other one, that's fine and dandy, until you get ready to split. And then if you get ready to do a plat, then we have to have a road platted in there so that there's always easement because the family may not own it.
Platted or built?
No, it depends on the size of the acreage. If it's above 5 acres, it has to be platted. If it's under 5 acres, it has to be built.
Slow down for me. You got a piece of ground. You got 5 acres. You can build 2 homes on it. But it's got to be in one person's name? Is that what you're saying?
You can't sell off a separate tract because you haven't split the property.
But he also said
you have 2 homes, but it's still one piece of property.
Or
50 acres, it's still one piece of property.
Right.
But once you split it, you have to meet the standards. But what he's saying is you have to plat the road as required. But
right.
You don't have to actually build it as required if the acreage that you split off is more than 5 acres.
Right.
Or 5 acres or more.
It says if it's under 5 acres, the road frontage and everything has to exist. If it's above 5 acres, it only has to be platted.
The language used to be private streets in gated communities shall be constructed to adhere to the same design requirements and specifications as public improvements.
That's the way it should
read. And that's the way it should read, in my opinion.
And then when we got to the review process for the commission, they didn't like that language. And this is my note from 6 or 8 months ago that says, per the commission, we need to change that shall be, which was stricken, to are encouraged to construct their roadway infrastructure to.
Yeah,
that's
what
started this whole argument.
That's nothing but a problem. Anytime you say encourage.
There was a statute that said on the Sunshine Law that we were strongly encouraged to provide it in electronic form, and Harry Styron sued us, and we were in front of Judge Effort, and I just said to the judge, well, it says strongly encouraged to provide it in electronic format, and you're not doing it? No, we feel strongly encouraged, but we still don't want to do it.
and who would? You know, you can just put in your dirt road here, you know, run the grader down through there.
Well, why did we change it? I mean,
I talked to Spencer yesterday. This is, like I said, 6 versions or renditions of drafts to get to the final copy, and in draft number 3, the language was stricken from what it used to say shall be to encourage, and I believe it was from a commissioner that's not here right in attendance right now.
So he was speaking to...
His issue is you're split off of your grandson's property on the back, and he doesn't want to have to meet public road standards for that person. That's probably the motivation for him saying you're strongly encouraged.
And that is, even in the thing that we're working on, gentlemen, we got a thing in there that's kind of specific to family. I just don't know that you can make.
You can't distinguish.
What if
with the bathwater?
What if we had an average daily traffic count? If you had an average daily traffic count of 6 or less, doesn't have to meet the standard.
The problem comes in that if you were my father and you gave me 40 acres and I've got driveway going up to it, and then you and I have falling out, so I sell my 40 acres, and the guy comes in now and wants to subdivide it into 5-acre tracts.
Right.
He needs a road, but I got to get an okay from you to come across there. Now I can't.
Well,
if you require the 50-foot easement right off the bat, and that's a public easement.
You don't have to build the road to that standard, right, as all these
That's our point.
Yeah, it's saying if you plat to a 50-foot easement, yeah, then we're okay. But what I'm reading and some other things that are coming down for family, saying just throw away, you're not paying anything. I just don't think, first of all, we can make regulations that are just for family.
And you got an excellent point, because that's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. We've seen it happen. People die and change their minds.
You can't plan for every eventuality. I know that. But when people are wanting to do this, that's the time when they can go in and say, okay, here's what we'll do now. If it's just serving one house and he's got more than 5 acres, we don't require any road to be put in at all. It has to be platted, but it doesn't have to be put in.
Here's some additional language in the back of the document under acceptance of roadway improvements. All roads and subdivisions approved by the Taney County Planning Commission after the adoption of these design standards shall be constructed in accordance with these standards, which is in conflict with the statement that we're making up here. Also, down below, no streets or other public improvements will be accepted or approved by either the Taney County Engineer or Taney County Commission unless the improvements were constructed in accordance with the plans and county specifications. So that's conflicting.
That statement there may be a problem for you in the future. Mm-hmm. When people come to you and say, we built these roads like you said, and we expect you to take them. Now, that's why we might declare it to be a private road.
Well, I think that we need to have them meet the public road standards whenever possible, even though they're private roads. And we need to encourage private roads to meet public standards, because private roads are not public roads. And public roads do not have to be maintained by the county. And that's a good thing.
Private roads may be traveled by the public.
But under no circumstance are they public roads.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So I build a paint sewer type golf course, gated community, with a bunch of 50 homes in it, and declare it private. It will always be gated. I never intend the county to maintain it. Do I have to build county road standards?
I vote yes.
Unless we have a PUD situation which makes sense, and we need to have a PUD situation. This airport would be perfect for a PUD. Well, yeah, our normal road standards are this, but because you're an airplane community and everybody knows it, and the city.
But if we had a PUD, I would say the subdivision. You could create a subdivision in a PUD,
and you would approve everything up front. Though you would look at their roads and say, are these roads going to be adequate? Because they come in and get approved for the whole PUD. At that time,
PUD would solve a lot of the problems.
It would. But you would also make sure that it was well funded, the Homeowners Association, make sure everything was done the way it was supposed to be done.
In the future, though, when people came forward and said, I want the county to take this road, oh, you're a PUD, and you guys, when you followed it, we all had a track, we had a way to say.
These are all private roads. They're not public roads. Nowhere on the plat does it say dedicated to the public, which the developers are so quick to put on their plats, dedicated to the public. They just want rid of it. They don't want the responsibility.
And the homeowners a lot of times don't even know they own them.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, same thing with their sewer system and everything like that. But with the PUD, you're looking at the whole picture, and they've got all the roads and everything packed in there. And if you don't feel the roads are sufficient, you can go, you know, we feel this might be a safety issue in the future, so you're going to need to take these
a little while. We don't have to use the standards. We can just say, so.
But that you can make an agreement on how you want those roads built.
Catch me up again. So if we had a PUD and we had this one lot that has 6 average ADT, and they could do it as a PUD where they wouldn't have to build it to build the road
to the standard? I'd be afraid to tie things to ADTs because...
Or some other thing, I don't care.
Right, but some family may have 4 children and each have a vehicle, and if you go twice a day,
hard to enforce.
With PUD, you're taking in a whole lot of things. Like, you know, usually with PUD, you're going to have a subdivision, you're going to have some commercial, you're going to have a whole lot of things in there. And so you want to look at the whole thing and say, you wouldn't come in as a PUD and make just a subdivision as a rule. PUD kind of takes in all the needs of that particular community.
I think I understand. I think everyone understands Danny's concerns. It sounds like we need to almost put this language back to the way it was, shall be, and then somehow or another allow for the types of situations.
Change the minor subdivision.
Variance of some sort.
A way this to address the issues with the small.
And you can't enter into that as his family. Whatever you make, it has to be for Frank and whoever on his property or something like that. So.
Yeah, I agree. The family thing.
We've got it. We've got to ensure because if you split off for your daughter, y'all have a falling out. She wants to split her property off. You can lock everything up if something's not in place.
Right. You just have to be careful with your rules. That's why when we make a rule for outside of the city of Branson, where it's fairly urban, it affects people in the east as well. So you got to make it so that it's palatable to both. You can't say it applies only to you and not to you. And it's the same with farmers or with family members. It applies to everybody equally.
I would encourage you strongly to look into this, and then where you have the word encourage, take it out and replace it with something else.
We shall be. Encourage means nothing, really.
Right. Because if it's more money out of my pocket, I appreciate that and just can't afford it.
Yeah, I feel really strongly encouraged.
You know, and
well, I'm going to do it this way anyway.
that was one of the things that I marked in my copy of that, and I wrote a note that do we want this or do we not? Because if we go with encouraged, we don't have it.
Right. And so what I agree with Danny is if there's situations that we don't need to build the road because of the cost. I mean, you got two homes and they're not kids, they're two retired folks.
We need to figure that one out.
And I agree. That's something Danny's wanted for the last couple of years, and we just haven't been able to hit on anything that's been satisfying.
That's what we need to. So, when we meet back together, we'll talk about adopting that back like it was, and maybe have an idea of how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know off the top of your head? A gravel county road.
Mm-hmm.
What's the cost a foot to build something like that? I mean, it can vary a lot by the type of ground you're building on, of course.
I could figure it out for you, but I don't have the number on top of my head.
But, you know, they have to, and I'm not saying, but they have to ground the road, and they have to have shoulders, and they have to have drainage, and then they have base rock, and then gravel on top of it, where a lot of people just want to come in and spread out some gravel.
It could easily be 10 times the cost of what you would need to do what you want to do.
It is an expense, you know, and Mr. Strahan mentioned the other night, James, when he was in there, that they came in and did a minor sub, and we required them to bond on the gravel road, and they did, and then we gave them the bond back.
Here's a picture. You go west on 76, old Remus property on the right-hand side,
mm-hmm.
used to be Mr. Anyway, I can't remember his name, but there's a single lane going back to a house on 50 acres or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to sell off 5 acres to someone, then for them to have to build that road all the way back...
5 acres you wouldn't have to build.
Okay.
It would just plat.
5 acres? Yeah. He said earlier that 5 acres, it doesn't apply.
He plats a road, so there's always a road easement there.
He doesn't have to actually build it if it's 5 acres.
They can still use the same driveway and everything. If he drops down and sells in 4 acres,
then he's got to
plat the easement and put in the minimum standard road, which we would say 20-foot gravel with or did you think?
So your hypothetical needs to be he wants to split off 4 acres. Yeah.
But he could today, he could split off 5 acres, build a house on it, and he wouldn't have to change the road?
He'd have to plat it. He wouldn't have to change it.
He wouldn't have to change it.
Well, I don't know that that would bother me too bad.
And that's the way it's written in our book right now. If you say, but what happened is, if any part of that subdivision drops down,
when you get below the 5 acres,
4 lots, and one of them is 2,
the
road has to go in. But if they all stay above 5, it just has to be platted.
Okay. Well, now that still bothers me because you could get it in a spot where you don't need the road that we're talking about building.
What?
If you did 4 acres,
uh-huh.
And you're saying the road would have to be built.
That's what the standard says now.
Yeah.
It's below 5. Now, can you change that 5-acre standard? Sure.
Or can you come up with some other method of helping on this situation?
I mean, sure, you can do that.
Because it's a fairly long, this one I'm talking about, it's a fairly long road.
But see, 5 acres.
This doesn't seem fair that you have to build that kind of a road.
I have to come in and split my.
Can you get a variance?
See?
Can you get a variance from that standard?
You can get a variance on anything in our code book.
Can you?
Well, you can ask for it. but see, if I put 4 or 5 acre tracts out here, and I put in the road easement, and then you buy one of them, and I buy one of them, and then I decided, I only want 2 acres, I'm going to sell 2 acres to my friend. So now I come in and split my 5 acres into 2, which is legal. But now when you come to me to split it, I got to have a road. It's got to exist now. And it's got to exist all the way out to how I access the property.
Yeah.
And is anybody going to chip in and help me do that?
And if it's like my picture, that's so costly, it wouldn't be practical at all.
But I mean, on the other hand, you've got to ensure, I mean, people want to get by as cheap as they can get by, but you got to ensure that the people who are buying can access and use the property, because if you split 2 acres off with a warranty deed, I never did see it, and we didn't approve it, and you come back out to me, and now you want a building permit, I go out to the site, and I said, I can't give you a building permit, you don't have a road out here. So you bought a lot that you can't use.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we may need to work on the definitions that appear to be stringent in these types of scenarios right now.
Yeah, I mean, no, so it's two-sided. We can make it easier for people to do things, but we also don't want to start shooting these other people in the foot that are,
exactly.
that are wanting to buy the property. You know, because they assume that when they buy a property, they'll be able to get to it and use it.
Well, would you like to work on this for us?
No.
I think you've got a really good understanding of what we need.
I'll be glad to help. But, I do think we need to look at our minor sub. We may, but I need to know what you want. I mean, you know, it's very two-sided. You know, this guy out here that's been here forever and owns property wants you guys to do something. This guy that just bought the property goes, how could I get stuck like this? You know, so we try to balance it and make sure, yes, you can split it, and yes, you're going to make some money, but it may cost you a little bit, so we can ensure that these people can use their property like you've used yours all your life. So, just depends on...
Are you telling me I can't have my cake and eat it too? Is that what you're saying?
You can, but it'll be messy.
throw out the bathwater, the baby goes with it.
I'm saying there's ways it can be worked out, but that's what we see. I can help you do this, but I may be... He's hurting this fellow over here. And then he's eventually going to start screaming and come back to you guys and saying, how could this happen?
Well, we tried to help this guy. He was a good guy, just like you are.
I just don't own any property. So at least I'm not biased in any way. You know, so I understand both sides of it, and it doesn't affect me because I can't split where I'm at.
All right, well... We've had a nice discussion, but we haven't got anywhere. I'd like to see us get someplace.
What would you like us to look at, though?
We have made one advance.
Yeah.
We're getting rid of Encourage, but we need to fix the other problem, and you know what we want. We don't need to tell you. Just come up with some possible solutions, I think.
Are we talking just minor subs?
I think so. Okay. I mean, I don't think that I certainly, when you talk about a subdivision, unless maybe we need to work on the PUD at the same time, like
the golf course thing.
But even then, something like that, they ought to build the standards.
Well,
I mean, that's a protection for the people that's buying the lawns.
Exactly.
That we ought
to but yes and no.
This has to have been dealt with somewhere, sometimes, somewhere.
I'm sure it has.
Why shouldn't they, Mr. Strophus, be built to standards?
If the intention of a community is to always stay private, why do they have to have these big roads when they're trying to create a community of, I mean, I look at the 52-acre subdivision that Ruta brought forward, the Falls, Fountains of the Falls, whatever it's called. None of those roads are just standards.
If it's going to be private property, why do you need to tell me how far it's back from things? Why do you tell me that I need to...
So why you got a good point there.
So why can't we do a PUD where we look at the entire project and know it's not the standards, but we also know everyone knowing buying into it is a PUD.
Right.
And we look at it from a different aspect of versus a public. If it's private, it's not public access.
If you do a PUD, that makes sense.
Well, we don't have that yet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But
you said standard, and I agree with what you're saying on width and whatnot. My concern was, just as Frank said, we don't want a development out there that's built with a crappy road.
2 inches on clay.
2 inches on clay, where that the people.
But
they know up front.
Why does that matter? Though?
It does matter because they can know up front by looking at a plat that their roads are only going to be this wide and they're not going to be able to meet on them, let's say. They're going to be a narrow road.
But they don't know
that they're not going to be built to a standard that 3 years from now, because there's 2 inches on clay...
Whitetail crossing.
They have to come back, and all these poor landowners that paid $100,000 for a lot are going to have to come up with another $50,000 apiece to get the roads built that'll hold
up. What good is a drawing on a piece of paper that says I'm going to put this much base and this much without the inspection aspect of it? If we're going to put these rules in here, then I got to buy him, and we got to get him a whole bunch of inspectors.
I don't argue with that.
But we aren't willing to fund it anymore. So why put the rules in there that we aren't going to enforce?
You can't enforce them if they have a rule.
Exactly. And so that's what I'm saying.
Haven't we touched a little bit on the standards that...
But Randy does go out and look.
Yes.
And there's a true inspection, though, is stop until I sign off.
Right.
That then all of a sudden, we're going to have one commissioner saying, wait a second, that sounds like almost like building codes.
Well, it is a building code for a road.
But if you're talking a PUD, let's don't mix things up. If you're talking a PUD, then that's part of the deal. I mean, they're inspected in it, and if we have to...
With the PUD, we have come in with everything. Here's everything we want to do in the project.
I'm fine with that. I just don't want to say we got to build it to a standard, and then we have no way to enforce it. Because everyone knows that we make rules and we don't enforce them.
Yeah, make them pay for our
inspector. And the ones we do try to enforce, we run into issues like this.
And we're doing some of that here and there.
But that gets rid of... But like right now, we really don't have the provisions to even set Mr. Root up for his project.
No.
But so we hold him to our parking lot standard because everything's held in common.
I've heard this, please receive this kindly, but I've heard us talk about PUDs a bunch of times, and each time, as I remember, this is something we ought to do for these reasons. Why don't we do something this time?
Well, and again, with what's in front of PNZ at this present time,
new code book,
and it will help to define that.
The new code book addresses PUD. So the question was, when we started this animal 3 or 4 months ago, Eddie's like, why do I create my own thing when I know another one's coming?
Right.
Let's just take what's out there.
All right.
Which is why I haven't pushed you on some other things like I mentioned the other night.
Let me ask this question then, kindly. And that is that, again, PUD keeps coming up over and over again. We're doing a code. How long is that going to take? Would we be wise, if the PUD is going to be in the code anyway, and we're going to have to work on it to get it in the code, I want to work on it now and get that sucker formed and just amend ours. And then when the new code gets
coming up,
and then when the new code comes together, it just goes right in there and we don't have to do it again.
And
maybe it doesn't need being done, but again,
February is our month of meetings for suggestions and a couple of changes and like that. That is something we probably should attack. You know, we, you know, it takes forever to get anything done anyway, but that's huge. That's a huge project.
Mm-hmm.
Although there has been a lot of discussion on it. I think it is something we need to define, because there was a section in our code book at one time that dealt with property held in common and stuff like that. Evidently, they ran into some kind of issue with it because they took that whole section out and continued to operate like it's there.
You mentioned, yeah. We mentioned Fall Creek Rooters Project. I mean, here, something we need.
So he's combining a lot of different elements in there, which is fine.
Yeah.
But he would, at that time, too, he would come to you with the whole layout, similar to what the airport did. They
we don't have
to. The plat.
Bob said, we don't have to. Other people have done this.
Sure.
This could be real easy for somebody sharp as you to go do it.
Oh, yeah, boy. but just like you mentioned a while ago, you know, people are out selling, and they think they're getting, this has happened with this airport. They lay out this preliminary plan, and they're selling
talk
this lot, this
example.
Lot, here's where the road is, and here's where the runway is, and everything like that. And it's not
holy
like
moly. Yeah, talk so, about an example.
So, I mean, it's not anything like that. But if I come to you and you have an airplane, I say, I can say this right here is right on the runway. Mm-hmm. And here's the road that services 70 feet wide. You go, that's a good deal. And then you buy and you come to me and say, hey, what happened out there? Because this happens in my office on a regular basis. How come you're not protecting me? How'd y'all let this happen?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have any rules. What do you mean you don't have any rules and regulations?
Hey. I'll say what I was thinking. Come across wrong.
If and when construction picks up again, I like Jim's comment of inspections. I ran across an emergency yesterday, pretty bad sewer leak in Village Meadows that had the water line within 2 inches of the sewer line.
It violates state law.
Right. So DNR was called, not by me, by the contractor that was working on it. I talked to Lonnie Brown yesterday. He said, that's nothing, Frank. He goes, that's entire development. All the sewer lines and water lines were put in the same trench. I said, I physically saw one today, Lonnie, that's 2 inches apart from each other.
Can you not shelve
those? It's supposed to be close to 10 feet. It's supposed to be 10 feet or something.
I thought you could shelve them in trenches.
I have personal experience. No, you can't.
Okay.
Lonnie's statement yesterday.
That's a hard experience.
Yeah. I didn't pay for the experience. I experienced a contractor who had felt that experience.
Okay, I thought I read that you could.
Lonnie's statement says you can make all the rules you want in the world. You guys can have the greatest rules and the greatest things on the books. He goes, but with a lack of inspection, the contractor is going to do what they can get away with out there. And what we saw yesterday was a classic example of that happening. So not only from those type of perspectives, one of the biggest problems we have with developments is stormwater runoff. And if you know they can draw a retention or detention basin on the plan. We've got one right now off of 248 where they've promised us above the trailer courts. They've promised us two or three different stormwater containment facilities. They still, to my knowledge, last time I checked, they didn't exist.
Yeah, I talked to her yesterday.
Yeah. So they didn't exist. So inspection is critical. When we get into a boom again, there needs to be some inspection of the current projects that are in place and make sure that they're doing what they were told to do up front and follow all of the standards, whether they be road standards or...
Here you have the water and the sewer line.
Mm-hmm.
There's state law,
right.
It's just been said, and I know there is, but they don't enforce it.
Well, they don't inspect
it. They won't enforce it. Wrong
yeah.
word. They don't inspect it.
Right.
So as in our as happens so often, the state makes rules, and then nobody's going to unless the county or the city
and
comes along.
And a lot of times, whoever did that, you can't even go back to them again.
No.
So
because they're gone.
On the county to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'd be cheaper for the county if we paid to inspect it. And,
right.
And he probably wouldn't need more than just a couple.
I think they'd be better in planning and zoning. You guys are tied into current projects. And but it's something we need to address when building picks up.
And building looks like indications show next summer things will start being encouraged.
And we have the statement and everything that whenever we renew a permit of any kind, that they're now responsible for the current standards. So if there's been a change in the book, even though the project was approved, we can bring them to current standards. On paper, we can.
Well, don't let it go to your heads, but both of our administrators sitting here, your work here is a good evidence, Frank, that you got the notes and where we've been. And so let's do something to take the next step. Because it doesn't matter if it's next summer or two summers from now.
I think the next step
is we need to start working. We won't
approve a new code book that covers PUDs.
Can we ask Eddie to go ahead and
I can start pull
some examples on PUDs?
Well, look at the PUD. Maybe we approve, pull that out of the new code book and just get that approved.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. It's in the form that we want.
No, I mean, we'll have to examine. But we're talking.
You don't like counting chickens?
We ain't going to count chickens.
How about horses?
You know, you catch your chickens, dog gets one.
Just don't count them before they're hatched.
You know.
My deal was
eggs don't count.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
Eggs don't count.
You know, if you got this, you got to keep your feed in watertight containers. You know.
Well, what's wrong with that? We're just trying to help them out.
I'm going
to
go out and go to everybody's barn.
If you want more inspectors, don't you? You can carry a little empire for you of people.
I'm the chicken inspector.
You're a chicken inspector?
Get all your chickens together. We're going to run them through here. Nope, you got one too many. You got too many, we'll just haul them off.
Haul them.
You got too many cows, put that in the back of the truck.
Yeah, exactly.
You lost that one.
You're a chicken. You're a chicken thing.
Or you have to get a variant.
Chicken jacks.
Well, we just haven't had Sunday dinner yet. We're not really over.
All right. Back to seriousness. Let's ask Eddie to look at PUD.
Eddie, we're asking you.
Thanks for being here, Eddie.
PUD stuff. I think that's that fixes a lot. That potentially could fix a lot of problems.
Yes, we'll look at PUD and the minor sub also. Right? You want the minor sub looked at? You said.
Yeah, the
sure.
Well, just the 2 acre thing or 5 acre thing. Right. You know, with the one road going to the grandson's carved off property. That and PUD. And PUD might help with that.
PUD could help with that. So.
See, I don't see how PUD would affect that at all because and PUD takes in this community, and that wouldn't affect just a plain subdivision.
Well, you could get a variance, but you don't have to go through a Division 3 if you get a minor. But if you want to go through a Division 3 for a minor because you don't want to comply with the rules, I suppose you could get a PUD.
I just don't know that PUD fits that description. My understanding of what a PUD is, it's a diverse community that allows for single family residential, multifamily residential, commercial, several different things in one location, all master plan.
Well, focus on that. Work on that. I mean, we've had good discussion.
Listen,
and
don't that exist yet.
I believe that you understand. I mean, your example of
yes.
His hand went out the door. He's not here anymore.
Okay.
How do we change the verbiage in this?
Well, we just need to
amend that.
We need to have post another.
We
have to have public hearing.
Yeah.
No. Only if you're changing it in the planning and zoning code. If you're going to change it in the code, you have to have your public hearing. You could do that even in February, and change it back to they shall meet those requirements rather than be strongly encouraged.
But that strong encourage only occurs in his book. Our book never has been changed to reflect anything.
So you don't have to worry about it.
No, but he's asking, since they passed a road standard and they're going to make some changes, do they have to have, because they had a public hearing to start with before they did this.
Are they required to have a public hearing for their road standards?
I don't know. I know for us, we have to. I didn't know how his worked.
We did it. We did as the whole document, but this is two words we're trying to change.
If
we could have a public hearing on a Monday morning.
I was going to say, if you could work it out with Danny that he understands what we're doing,
okay.
We don't get in a big conflict.
Okay.
And then we just post it on Monday morning. We can call a public hearing, make it a public hearing.
And that's fine. If you do it in your public meeting on Monday and post it, then he's fine and dandy, I think. But I think to just go into a change of public document like that without any...
No,
what you missed is Frank's going to...
Oh, I was here the whole time.
Meet with Danny. be sure we got an understanding on changing those words, and then we'll just post a meeting. Great. We'll have that. Perfect. We'll have that done.
Perfect.
Okay, we'll get at it.
When we get Bob back in here, I'm going to bring him with me, but we got Como. I'd like to go ahead and do Como. It's a little deal.
You know, up there on Como, there's a square block area that Ross Vogel is going to build condominiums on.
Right.
I'm guessing this is not going
to affect that. No. We've got a cul-de-sac that is built, used, that is on a guy's lots, and his house is in the roadway. So we just need to do a little trade. I mean, the house has been there since 20s or
30s. Well, and everything can
be longer.
Prescriptive easement or all kind of junk like that. And so, but, wow. Happens everywhere.
Is that the one with the tree in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Tree in the middle of the cul-de-sac. It actually looks pretty neat.
It's probably okay, but it cuts down the width of the cul-de-sac. You have to take the tree out so the road around the outside edge of it has to be right
back. When we get that straightened up, right below that, it drops off pretty bad and probably not good for our snow flowers or anybody else. We may need to do a little throw some mix or some kind in there.
I'll be in touch, Tim.
Great. Thank you, sir. Thanks for being here, Eddie.
Yeah, thanks for coming by, Eddie.
Good timing.
Come by again.
Blue Ridge, I believe, was denied the road a while back, not too long ago. Is that right?
There was some... Actually, last meeting we had to discuss Blue Ridge...
Before that?
Yes, it was tonight.
Okay.
But the last meeting we had... Someone from the commission stated that they thought we took a portion of it in this year. So the minutes do not reflect that, but when you go back and listen to the meeting of the... When you listen to the recording of the minutes of the meetings, you hear that what was truly requested was that Mr. Burdine was asked to create another petition which would have segmented...
Blue Ridge.
The original petition, which was Blue Ridge, to down to 975, which is the road
right
before the crossing itself.
Correct.
That never happened.
So he never came back with the petition.
Right. But I don't recall this. He may have never been asked to come back with a commission, with a repetition. I'm not sure. He may have and may... I don't recall that. He may have not been
asked. You have pictures?
You know how horrible Blue Ridge is?
The crossing, as of today, is passable. I don't know when the repairs were made. They were not made by us. Are we going to talk about Blue Ridge now?
No, Dan doesn't want to talk about it without him being here.
I can provide some information.
Provide us with information.
The portion where the washout is...
We don't want what it's doing, so you get Como, because we...
This is Sandy here, and then we go down the hill, and this is where the washout is. There's about 9 properties. The ones that are highlighted in yellow, this is Blue Ridge here. All of the properties that are highlighted in yellow belong to a LLC. Where is it? I don't see it on the screen. I can come down and look at it here. That's Mike Ferdine's.
That's the blue one.
It's the blue one. All of the...
there it is.
GLW Enterprises.
Okay. All of these he owns.
Yes.
Belong and to... he owns the property that's not platted, too, then. No.
Yes, GL Enterprises does. This... the road does not... is not... at the washout itself is truly not platted, according to all of our records. These are platted, but in the area of the washout, it's not platted. It exists there today...
And it's his property.
Yes.
CL or whatever.
It's passable today. Somebody has put it back together.
Danny worked with some private individuals.
Mr. Burdine lives right about here. This is the top of the hill going down Blue Ridge. It's a functional, not very well, and then this is going back up the other side past the
culverts.
The culverts themselves.
Whistles. Would have been where you're from.
So, according to the recordings that we listened to, the next step was to have Mr. Burdine, who calls me once a week, and has for about the last 6 weeks because he knows we're actively talking about this.
So the what? Where does it get crazy steep? Right here.
Yes.
That's the washout we just saw. Those pictures, right?
The washout is in here.
Right. No, the washout there. I'm sorry. It's the Burdine is right here, right?
Yes.
Where's the? Isn't this parcel this? That lot isn't that right here?
Could be.
Yep. Probably so.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, the other road that's neighbor that's over here somewhere that we did a
one time
deal only.
Purvis.
Yeah.
Which was reported to be very passable. I sent the email.
Yeah.
One washout.
What you're seeing right there in that picture, Jim. That's all the material that was on the hill. Right, but the other picture is that was. Purvis was so many times worse than what you're looking at there before we did our repair. Mm-hmm. It was awful. Yeah, hold on. But there's some of this over here that's really bad, too. Como Drive, you don't have anything?
I don't know.
I gave you a picture. I gave everybody a picture two weeks ago.
Okay, so everybody's got a picture of it.
And you. And I'll get you another one. But,
all right.
But all we need to do is... We've got this platted road.
And the road physically is not on it.
And we got a house right here on the road. And then we've got actually a cul-de-sac.
Okay, I remember the conversation. We ordered Randy to go get it surveyed.
Yeah, we need it surveyed.
At our meeting we had, we said Randy will get it surveyed because we had to have surveying for legals to change it.
Yeah, if we're going to change it, we need legal. We need to make sure we're not taking somebody's property.
No, because we brought it up when Frank was gone on vacation. Randy came in and he brought it up, and we said, "Go get legals on it."
Okay, I kind of remember that, and what I remember is there are survey stakes out there. I think I made a comment that said,
"But we have already been served." But we have to have the legals to do the paperwork.
Well, if there's already been a survey, let's find out who did the survey and let's get a copy of it. Okay. If we have to pay a couple dollars for a copy of a survey or go get a copy out of there if they've recorded it, it's a lot easier.
Let me ask a question. When we get done with getting the right information, the county is talking about giving this to Mr. Hensley, and then where this cul-de-sac sits on his two lots, he's going to give us that. We're going to trade.
We're swapping.
How do you need to do that?
Legal description.
Just a legal description be written of this and this?
Of this and this.
Uh-huh. Off of the survey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you have a deed to him? A quit claim to him or whatever?
That's the quit claim of your paperwork. You do all that.
And a quit claim from him to us, and you sign them both at the same time, and you're done.
The next step is legal descriptions off of... If the survey stakes, if you're going to talk to Hensley...
No, I'm good.
We just need to find out who did the survey.
Well, Randy's already working on it, so... We'll get him working on it.
Yeah, just have him contact. Okay. See who did the survey. If it's legal...
Everybody's on the same page, yep. And when we get the documents,
I remember when... Now that you brought that up, the pictures, I think Randy... We said, Randy, go get the survey legal so we can get this document done.
I mean, I remember the discussion we had and what I said. I just didn't remember that it was called Como Drive.
What I want to do, Chuck...
Thank you for Como. We're done.
What I want to talk about is Blue Ridge and Hidden Oaks. I want to have a separate conversation with Frank and us three about the maintenance schedule and future funding of it. My concern is that we're taking in lots of miles of road and without a more... I just like to have a sit down, not specific about a road, but talk about how does the maintenance program look, financing, funding, prioritization. I mean, I had a conversation with Frank about we need to have a meeting about how do we prioritize snow removal routes. And that was a can of worms I didn't know I was going to open. And so I'd like to have that meeting very, very quick so that we can decide what we're going to do.
All right, I'm in total agreement. Need to do that, but let me give you my experience.
Okay.
My experience has been that comment has been made for my period of time here.
Okay.
And it always happens the same way. We're looking at something, and I heard you say we don't want to look at it in that respect, but we always come to this point, and I don't mean to be critical because I'm as I'm one of the players. It hurts. But we need to do it.
I agree.
And after we do it, as we do it, because after we do it, there's going to be roads, whether it's this road or some other road, that is going to come to the county commission for approval.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever we work out through that process that you're talking about doing, I'm agreeing. But it's kind of like these other things we face.
Well, I guess my concern is,
maybe we ought to spend this time not even talk about Blue Ridge or Hidden or anybody else, although I've got some comments on, Hidden's a whole different subject than this. Mm-hmm. It's a road that was built to pretty good standards.
Mm-hmm.
I even thought about us driving out there this morning. But anyway.
But, this is the thing is, we've taken in how many miles of road this year?
How many times have you heard of Mr. Paulson? The same conversation from a different commissioner.
Yeah, but this year alone is insane.
Right, aren't I?
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've taken in years.
But there's a valid point there, too.
It is a valid point.
At what point have we got too many miles of road to afford to take care of?
But my thing is this. Let's put a cap on how much road we take in, and then I'm fine. Frank, we're going to take in no more than 5 miles of road a year. I'd much rather, at the end of the discussion, we have that, because we've taken in how many miles since you've been here? 11?
1.2.
And 6 miles has been here.
My silly grin is that that's probably right as rain. But when the rubber meets the road, there's going to be another road come in and say, how come, why not?
Then
again, my point is, if we're going there, it's like everything else. There's lots of details, and we better have our details worked out, or we're going to be waffling on what we said.
According to the road supervisor of Stone County, they have a moratorium right now on not taking any roads in at all until economic conditions change. They can't afford to take any more roads in.
Well, this is the thing.
And
most people.
That's what we are. That's what we are.
But we got to have the conversation. My concern is people are having us take roads in for snow removal. And the problem is we don't have a rhyme or reason of what snow removal is first versus second. And if we say, okay, we're not going to do any more, any roads we take in doesn't cover snow removal, half our demands would go away.
That's a key factor that people...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Those are conversations because, and looking at these pictures that Frank put up here on the wall, the west side has got a lot of asphalt roads. We haven't been maintained. If you look at what the maintenance schedule is, we've got a huge need on the west side that when we bring it up, it's $1 million.
Per year.
Well, I can tell you the city of Branson isn't taking in areas because of the requirements that they take care of the infrastructure, including the roads. They do not want to take care of the roads. We should be encouraging as much as we can. I know we've been doing the opposite because people don't want to go into Branson, but we should be encouraging roads to go into the city so that we don't have to take care of them anymore. But they don't want them.
I'd much rather be seeing, and I told Frank this, I said, if we're going to fix a road that's in Branson proper, it's a county road, we fix it up and say, we'll fix it up, but you take it over, city. We've got to start letting loose some of these roads that are in the city, inside the lines of the Branson. But I just think the conversation's... My concern is if we don't have a conversation, we'll be talking about individual roads, and then all of a sudden it becomes...
Well, we don't want to come to the point that we're spread where we're not getting...
Right.
Where we're not taking care of things,
exactly.
Of course, and that's what will happen.
Right.
If we don't...
Sure.
Do a little better planning. All right. All sounds good, and so let's talk about it. Where do we go? No, we're not out of time. What's next?
I can't think of it. Sorry.
I don't think we have anything until 1 o'clock.
We don't.
That was wonderful. I'll tell you what, Sonny boy, let's get us another cup of coffee. We'll just knuckle down here.
I want a 5-minute recess.
5-minute recess.
I'm going to get a cup.
Now, don't use your 5 minutes to try to work your way out of this, either.